I am thankful to be here and glad to see each of you here this evening. I don't know if I'll be able to bring any benefit to you, but you certainly have to me in the singing tonight. God was certainly good to us in that and blessed, thankful for it. If the sermon is a house tonight, I may stay out on the porch here for a little while before we try to enter in and talk to you a little bit. Brother Kenny mentioned that I was a little nervous, and for me it's not a little nervous, it's always a great deal nervous and have been for some time. But we trust the Lord might give us grace and be able to speak to you. I was troubled about that the other day, and I was thinking, why is it that I have to go through this before I go to a meeting, this kind of nervousness and anxiety and the agony of soul? And it did come to me that my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And may God be glorified even in my weakness today. Here a few years ago, I was preaching a funeral for one of my high school classmates that had passed away. And she was one that we were fairly good friends in high school, and then we got away and did not communicate for about 40 years at all. I went to a high school reunion, and she wasn't there, and I heard that she had had a serious automobile accident, wasn't able to come. So I sent her an email and told her that we missed her, and we began to communicate just a little bit. And in that communication, she expressed some surprise that I was in the ministry. I was there before people at Amherst, who I grew up, you know, with them and before them. And I just mentioned that, and whenever I mentioned that, everyone started laughing. And I think all of them were somewhat surprised that I was in the ministry. And I told them, I said, well, all I can say is that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. And this here of late, I've been reading some book about John Newton. John Newton has made some statements that are just some of my favorite. We're familiar with the song that he wrote, Amazing Grace. John Newton wrote a lot of letters in his ministry. Most of us familiar with him, who was a slave trader and lived a very wicked life and was dramatically converted unto the Lord. And he never forgot what he was. He remembered that, but he realized the amazing grace of God. One of the statements he made one time, and he was an old man, said, I'm now an old man and I've forgotten many things, but two things I remember: that I am a great sinner, and Jesus Christ is a great Savior. I trust that we each remember that tonight. He also, many years into his ministry, he was writing, he would talk about the struggles that he went through. And he said, I am a riddle to myself, a heap of inconsistence. And I thought that described Ronnie Hedges really well. Paul put it in this way over in Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 21. He says, I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then hear his words. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And in that 7th chapter of Romans, he describes the struggle that I believe every child of God has. and the longing that he has to be rid of that struggle, to be out of that struggle. And I trust that we each can say today, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord, that there's coming a day that we're going to be rid of the struggle. We're going to be rid of indwelling sin. And that's one of the glories of heaven, that one day that we will be in that condition. Even now, he's able to deliver us and able to enable us. We stand between these two scriptures when he said in John 15, verse 5, that I am the vine and ye are the branches. If a man abide in me and I in him, same shall bring forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And then Philippians 4, verse 13, that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we can do nothing of ourselves, but we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And even though we have sin that dwells within us, we have this flesh, and Galatians 5 and verse 17 says that the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That we are in that struggle, that by God's grace that we can serve him and we can honor him. And we trust that he will so bless the night, and that he could use even one such as I to be a blessing to you. I also read where John Newton wrote this to a minister, where he said, I do not see how God could use one such as I to be of any benefit to his people, paraphrasing that. And he wrote him back and he said, well, you're right about one thing and you're wrong about another. That one is that you are a wretched sinner, but you're wrong about this, that he is able to use you. And that we often think not too low of ourselves, but we often think too low of Christ and what he is able to do. And so we look to him tonight and pray that he will bless, that I could bring forth his word in a way that would be profitable to you. So I want to turn to Luke, the 11th chapter, in verse 27, and read a couple of verses here. Here's an occasion whenever our Lord Jesus is in his personal ministry. He's just given a severe rebuke to some Pharisees. He had cast out a devil, and they had said that he cast him out by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And he gave them a pretty severe rebuke here in Luke, the 11th chapter. But it tells us in verse 27, and it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. And he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now, here was this woman, and I think that she said this, meaning it in a very honorable way, that she was pronouncing a blessing upon his mother. And he did not deny what she said. He didn't reprove her, but he did improve on what she said for her benefit and for her blessing. And I trust that we might look at it tonight in such a way as would be of benefit to us. Truly, Mary was a blessed woman. We read about the occasion here in Luke, the first chapter, verse 26, when the angel Gabriel comes to her. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And so here the angel, Gabriel, pronounced that she was a blessed person. And we would recognize tonight that Mary was certainly a blessed person. It's hard for us to imagine, I think, the experience that she had to have brought forth the Son of God into the world, to have had the experience that she did, that here he was, the her creator, and yet a little baby that she held in her arms and that she nourished and cherished him and brought him up, that she helped him in one sense that he was helpless. And she was certainly blessed in that way, and we would not this evening say anything that would be in any way derogatory towards the mother of our Lord. Whenever she goes a little later and visits with her cousin Elizabeth, who is with child, going to have John the Baptist, we read of the occasion when they come together. And it tells us, beginning in verse 41 of Luke 1, it says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." And so she too pronounces a blessing here upon Mary, and certainly she was a blessed woman. She was highly favored of the Lord, the Bible tells us. And she was the one that he chose to bring forth his son into the world. And so today we would say truly that she is blessed, but while we say that, we do not worship Mary. You know, I had some visitors at Spring Lake Church. In fact, it's my niece and her husband, and they came there last Sunday, and we went back to my mom and dad's afterward and had occasion to visit with him a little bit and heard a little bit about his background. His mother was a Catholic, and so he was raised Catholic. And he was telling me that he got to reading the Bible when he was about 11 or 12 years old, said he felt like he was called to preach, and said, in fact, I did preach to some of my friends, said I'd take the Bible and begin to talk to them. But he said, whenever I started studying the Bible, said I started asking my mom, where do we get all this stuff about Mary? And he saw this much, that we weren't to be worshiping her. You remember the time whenever the wise men came to the house where Mary and the babe were? This was not the stable, but was the house there in Matthew, the first chapter, and it says they came in and they bowed down and worshiped him. He was there with Mary, but they worshiped him and not Mary, and we do not worship Mary tonight. But she was certainly a blessed person, and this woman acknowledged that, and she recognized that, and she said this with a loud voice, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked." But what I'd like for us to concentrate on here this evening and the words that our Lord said to her, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." He was telling her that she is in a blessed condition as she would hear the word of God and keep it. And certainly that would be true of us here this evening. In Luke the 8th chapter, we read of an occasion whenever the Lord Jesus is teaching. And it tells us in verse 19, "Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." He says, those that hear the word of God and do it, that they are my mother and my brethren. He's telling us there that we have that spiritual kinship with him if we hear the word of God and do it. He's telling us that we are the children of God if we hear the word of God and do it. Now, hearing the word of God and doing it is not what made us the children of God, but it is an evidence that we are the children of God. Anyone that can hear with an understanding ear the word of God and have that desire within them to do what is spoken, it is an evidence that they've been born of God. Over in Proverbs, I believe it's 20 and 10, I may have that wrong, but it tells us there that the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. That is true in a natural way, and that is true in a spiritual way. If someone has a hearing ear and able to hear the spiritual truth that is proclaimed in the word of God, it's because God has given that to them. Over in John the 8th chapter, you might remember the time whenever Jesus is speaking to some Pharisees there. They are claiming to be the seed of Abraham, that father, that Abraham was her father, and said, if Abraham was your father, you'd do the works of Abraham. But you do not the works of Abraham, because you seek to kill me. This did not Abraham. And they replied, and they said, we be not born of fornication. And I think there they probably were casting some reflection upon the way that he was born. You can imagine that here was Mary, who was a virgin. She was a spouse to Joseph, but they'd never come together, but she was with child. And I suspect that there were those that had their rumors about all of that all the days of her life, and even as our Lord Jesus came here on the scene. And they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And then he said, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Now there were some that though they were hearing his audible voice, they could not hear with an understanding ear the word of God. He would tell them down in John 8 in verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. So those that are of God, that hear the word of God, it is an evidence they've been born of the Spirit of God. What a difference that makes in the life of an individual when he has been born of the Spirit of God. He's given new capabilities at that time. He is now able to understand. Previous to that, we read about him in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. A natural man doesn't have the ability to understand the things of the Spirit of God. It is only one that has been born of God that does. In fact, it is an evidence that we are one of the elect of God whenever we hear that word of God. Over in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, he said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. How is it that we can know that someone is the elect of God? Paul had not been up to heaven to look upon the Lamb Book of Life and see their names recorded there. But there's a way, he said, that I know that you are the elect of God. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel, the word of God, came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you. And he goes on and says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, in the power, and in the joy of the Holy Ghost. And so here were these saints at Thessalonica. And Paul says, I know that you're the elect of God because you heard the word of God. And you responded to it and you obeyed it and you do the word of God. And so here it is. It's an evidence of our election. It is an evidence that we have been born again. And so they're in a blessed condition because of what's already happened to them when one hears the word of God and keeps it. And yet in our hearing the word of God and keeping it, there are blessings that come to us in that very thing. We go over to James, the first chapter, and I believe I'll begin in verse 21. James 1 and verse 21, he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. He tells us that we are to lay apart all filthiness. Now that literally means all dirtiness, the filth that we might get if we're working out in the field. But it's used metaphorically that we are to lay aside all moral defilement. And he says superfluity of naughtiness. That's not an expression we use very much, but it means all the abundance of wickedness. There's all the wickedness it's around about us all the time. But knowing the plague of our heart, there's some within us too, this flesh, that it hadn't got any better. Paul said, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And so he said, we got to lay that apart. I've said before, when I look into the book of James, said when you read that, you need to put on your steel-toed boots and put on your shin guards. He gets very practical with us, but really, here's what we need to do. We need to lay apart some things, and we need to receive with meekness the engrafted word. We need to receive those things that James speaks as we do all the word of God. Receive it and make it a part of us. He says, in so doing, that it'll is able to save your souls. He's not speaking about regeneration, but in conversion and in sanctification and in our edification, it is able to save us. It's able to deliver us and able to bring blessing to us. He goes on and says in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, his like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Or he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He says that one that he hears the word of God, but he doesn't obey it. So he's like somebody that looks in the mirror, he looks in the glass, and he might see there that he's got dirt on his face, need to comb his hair, need to shave or whatever, but he goes away and forgets all about it. Doesn't make any changes whatsoever. I suspect that everyone here today has looked in the mirror. I suspect that everyone here at some point in the day, they made some adjustments to the way they looked when they got up this morning. And whenever we look into the Word of God, it's going to point out things that we need to adjust. It's going to tell us things that we need to change. And he says that we are to be doers of it and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. He tells us in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Don't you love the way that James would express the word of God to us, that it is the law of liberty? It is that which sets us free. It is that which will bring us into obedience to the Lord and to the blessings of the Lord that he has for us. Jesus put it in this way, speaking to some people that believed on his name. He said that if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And you know, it brings us into the greatest liberty and the greatest rest and the greatest peace and the greatest joy that we're going to experience here in this world. James recognized, and I think we find it throughout the scripture, God has given us his word not to make our life miserable, not to put us in bondage, not to bring a bunch of burdens upon us that are hard to be borne, but to bring us into liberty and bring us into fellowship with him and bring us into that place that we can serve our purpose upon this earth, and that is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You know, that's the way the old catechism would read. What is the chief purpose of man? It is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Don't you love that? And we are to be helpers of one another joy in that way. And how do we come to that? Well, it is in doing the word of God. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James says the man is going to be blessed in his deed that is a doer of the word of God. You might remember the occasion over there in Luke, the 10th chapter. Those two sisters, Mary and Martha. And there was a time whenever Jesus comes to their house, they receive him there. And it tells us that Martha received him into her house in Luke 10 and verse 39. Says she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now, what Martha was doing was a good thing. She was showing hospitality. She was meeting a need that they had there. But it seems it wasn't so much in what she was doing, but it was her attitude about what Mary was doing that the Lord was going to correct here. Said, bid her that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. I think I hear him say that to me oftentimes as I go through this life. Careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He's saying, here's the more important part. She's hearing the word of God, sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing the word of God. And don't you love that just about every time you see Mary, she's there at Jesus' feet. She's in a worshipful frame. And she's hearing that word of God. So if we're hearing the word of God and keeping it, we've chosen that good part. And Jesus commended Mary for doing that very thing. Over in Luke, the 6th chapter, he tells us this. In Luke 6 and verse 46, he says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Back in Proverbs 13 and 13, I think it is, but we have this statement there, that whoso despiseth my word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Now there it is stated there, how that as we despise the word, said, be destroyed. He that feareth the commandment, that is the one that hears it and does it, he'll be rewarded. He's pronouncing that blessing. Well, here, Jesus gives us an illustration of that. He says, that one that hears my word and he does it, he's like the man, he's building upon a rock. And whenever the storm comes, the flood arises and it beats vehemently against it, says that it'll stand. And I know I look at people here this evening that have stood many trials in your life. Why? Because you built your life upon the word of God. And in doing that, it inspires me to look at the old saints of God that have gone through one trial after another. They've gone through sickness. They've gone through pain. They've gone through suffering, through disappointment. They've had financial reverses. They've lost loved ones. And they stand firm and they stand strong, trusting in God and depending upon God. And what a blessing that is to see. My mom was telling me the other day about an old preacher there at Amherst lost his wife, and she heard him say, said, "I can see how some people go to drinking." He didn't go to drinking, my friend, but he said, "I can see how they do." Well, some do if their life is not built upon the word of God and keeping it. They turn to other things to ease their pain and to ease their suffering. But my friend, we today have this privilege to build upon the word of God in obedience to the word of God. And it is going to strengthen us to endure in all the trials of life that come our way. That word of God, I don't think we can value it too highly today. You know, we have expressions of how that it is more precious than gold and silver, more precious than all these things that we might value here upon the earth. It is the very word of God. It is a love letter that God has given us from heaven, whereby it shines light upon our way. It tells us the things he would have us do, and it tells us about the thing that he's done for us. It tells us about our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it points to him. And it tells us to believe on his name and to obey his commandments, and that blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it. You know, as you read through the book of Acts and you see there the apostles as they're going forward and they're preaching there, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They preach his death, burial, and resurrection. And in just about every one of those sermons, you're going to find them give a call to repentance and faith in him. There is that gospel call, that gospel command that Jesus would command us to believe upon his name. Back over in 1 John 3 and verse 22, he tells there about those whom God hears their prayers. And he says in 1 John 3 and verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." He indicates to us there that there is a correlation between God hearing and answering our prayers and our obedience to him. So blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it, because God's going to hear and answer their prayers. And then he says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." We go through the scripture and we have the commandments that our Lord gives us, and there's many places we could go and read of them tonight. You know, you have the instruction that he gives us about baptism, the instruction he gives us about the Lord's Supper, the instruction that he gives us about the washing of the saints' feet. All of this is the word of God. And he said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it. For any non-members, well, you'll be blessed if you obey God's word in the keeping of the ordinances that he's placed within the church. And for us who are members of the church, we have commandments certainly that are given unto us, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That's an important one in our day. There are people today that are not experiencing all the blessings they could because they've forsaken the assembly of God. He says that we are to provoke one another to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, some might say that day was the approaching day of judgment that was coming upon Jerusalem, and perhaps it was. But in our day, we see the day approaching that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And we see that day approaching, and we ought to be looking for it and anticipating it. We need to be provoking one another to love and good works. We need that in our day. You know how important it is that we exhort one another daily, lest any be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I need that exhortation. I need people that are going to encourage me, and I need to be encouraging others, because our hearts can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And it's sad to see people sometimes that one time very dedicated, very faithful, and see them rejoicing in the Lord and serving the Lord, and then that they go off and they grow cold and indifferent, not enjoying the blessings that they could. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. We have all the one another verses in the scriptures, how we're to watch over one another, pray for one another, love one another, reprove one another. All these things, we are blessed if we do those things. We hear the word of God and keep it. I want to go to scripture over in Colossians 3. And here in Colossians 3, down in verse 12, he will tell us some things. And he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wow, what a command that he gives us there. How much are we to forgive one another? He said, well, even as Christ forgave you. How much did Christ forgive you? He forgives you all of your sins. And he tells us there that we're to forgive one another even as Christ forgave you. So also do ye, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. There he tells us things in the word of God. Here's the word of God. And we're blessed as we do that, as we put on as the elect of God these things. We don't do these things to become the elect of God, but we are to do these things as the elect of God and because of that which our Lord Jesus has done for us. You remember over in John the 13th chapter, whenever Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and not trying to get into all that lesson, but after that he had done that, he said, know ye what I have done unto you? He said, you call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, and if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And then he concludes that. And I think how he concludes that is applicable to all the word of God tonight. He says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. May the Lord add his blessing.